You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of November, a thankful edition of Locked On Jazz. Then we'll look at the Bulls, and then we'll do our NBA 5 version, bringing back that segment every now and then. That's the plan for today. Happy Thanksgiving. It's Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Great to chat with you today. This is Locked On Jazz. We do it every single day, Monday through Friday, giving you insight, expertise, behind the curtain, and geeky stats that you can't get anywhere else. We got a few staples along the way. Fridays are Pack Fridays. Thursdays are Facebook Live. And we're trying to integrate through the request of some long friends to bring back NBA 5. And we'll do that today. It'll just be a little longer than NBA 5. NBA 5 is kind of a rapid fire look at the NBA and what's going on around the league. I thought it would be great today to talk about Thanksgiving. That it's pretty cool. One, what I personally, the experiences that I get to do. Two, that I get to do this. And three, that we all get to watch NBA basketball and be a fan of an NBA team and see it. So I thought we'd run through a feel-good Thanksgiving edition of Locked On Jazz today. I hope that's all right with you. Today's show is brought to you in part, or completely, I don't know, why do we always say in part? By Stevens Henniger College, as well as by the Advocates. And I do want to remind you that if you're looking for kind of that Thanksgiving last-second stuff, and you're anywhere near 6200 South 20th East, stop by the store. See Jeff and Scott over there. They're probably busy. But that's a great place to pick up if you're kind of looking, you're going to someone's house, and you got to grab that last-second thing. It's a great, great spot for you. So that's 6200 South, 20th East. I'm actually likely going to do that after practice today. All right, let's, this is weird because it's not usually how we do the show. But what am I most thankful for? It's kind of a huge addition of Daily DeVar. I think on a personal level, I'm going to start there and then we'll go to basketball. It starts with the Millers. It starts for working for a company that has the Thanksgiving feed, working for a company that has the event at the Palmer House today. It's working for a company that is truly invested in making the community better, and that you as a employee know that your job is to help make the community better, and that that's how you should be looking at it, and that they are, you know, demanding on you as well that they want you to be the best of the best. It's kind of a cool deal. From a personal standpoint, they let me do what I do. If I'm not great, it's on me. It's the greatest feeling that's out there as an employee, is that I can do what I want to do. I can fail when I want to fail. I can try things and fail without worrying about the fact that I would end up, you know, I tried it. It didn't work. Let's move on to the next idea with freedom, which is pretty awesome. So that's a really terrific level to have as an employee. And the other one is they let me do this. I mean, there's not another play-by-play announcer in the league. There's not another person in the league with the access that I have that does this. Maybe there's no one else that's silly enough and stupid enough to try it and to do it all, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's that I work for an organization that allows me to do it and lets me communicate with you on this level, which I think is really cool. So that would be the first thing. I do want to say I'm also, having just come back from a 7-day road trip, I work with such amazing people. It's pretty awesome to be around Bowler and Travis Henderson, our director, and Jeremy Brunner and I rolled over to the University of Pennsylvania to go look at that together and share that interest. Scott Rogers, who's in charge of all graphics, is one of my favorites. Obviously, Ron Boone. Kristen Kenny brings just a great breath of fresh air every day with her energy. And so that broadcast crew is our family for a year, and to work with them is pretty awesome. And then the organizational standpoint, that you're working for people and with people like Quinn and Dennis and the coaching staff who you know are doing things, make it just on my level, I know that I'm not relaying false information. I'm not covering up for someone who's dishonest. I'm not working for an organization that's robbing their fans. It's a pretty awesome combination, and then to be around good people. So that's my thankful for aspect of things. On a basketball standpoint, for you guys, again, I think it probably, you know, I hate to speak for you. Maybe you can, how about we do this? Why don't you, when you're listening to this, if I miss something, send me a tweet at @LockedOnSports today, and we'll all just kind of keep retweeting everybody on things they're most thankful about being a Jazz fan today. And then hopefully I'll fulfill those. And you can reiterate some of the things I said if you'd like to. One of the items that jumps out to me most is, again, I go back to the Millers. Like, okay, first thing is you have a chance to win when you have good ownership. It doesn't mean you're going to win. It means you have a chance to win, because they're not going to get in the way of what's taking place, and they're not going to get in the way of the basketball people doing their work, as happens in, you know, Phoenix. Clearly that's happened. You can run through, you know, in L.A. it was clearly happening before they let Pelinka and Magic take over. You can run through it. It happens. It doesn't happen in San Antonio. It doesn't happen in Utah. It doesn't happen in Boston. These are organizations that let their people do their job, and the Millers do that. The new arena has to be something we're awfully thankful for, because it is gorgeous. It increases the experience. It is fabulous. The food is in a totally different realm. The comfort of seats, the viewpoint, it's just terrific. So that has to be, it has to be on the list there. I think I'm probably maybe more into this because it was taken away from me at one point than many people, but I'm incredibly thankful to get to watch the best in the world every day. You know, I've had a bunch of people ask me, how do you feel about, you know, is this season hard? They're not winning like we thought they were going to. And on one level, obviously, it's easier and better when the team wins. But on the other end, you know, when it's 5 minutes left in a close game at Madison Square Garden and you get to watch it or get to root for it, that's a pretty great treat. Be better if you win. But it's still a pretty cool experience to have a team that engages you, gets you at the edge of your chair, and lets you watch Kristaps Porzingis, even though you're rooting for the other side. I think that's, having been in Seattle and watched a city lose a franchise, and see what they're still like, and how every time I go back there and talk to someone, when do we get it back? When, you know, what do you know? I mean, there's just this yearning, and you just don't watch it the same way. You're not connected the same way. Even if you're the biggest basketball fan in the world, you don't have your team. There's not an impact. Paul Millsap's injury doesn't have an impact going. So I think there's really a thing to that. Hey, our players, we got great, great guys. Like, I find Jonas Derebko to be incredibly nice guy and interesting. You probably haven't really engaged him. Obviously, Rudy and Donovan are the ones that you wake up in the morning right now, put on their jerseys, and root for them. Rodney Hood's developing another step right before our eyes. It's pretty cool to see. That's part of being a fan, and we've got guys that are worth rooting for. That's, you know, that's the coolest aspect of things. To me, is that, or one of the cool, is that, you know, I'm not, again, back to the Millers. It all heads back to the Millers. We don't have some guy here that I'm saying, well, you know, other than that, he's a really good guy. Like, well, you know, there isn't that. We haven't dealt with it. And that's, you have to admire and what they do to have created an environment of that sort. The final one I would say that we should be thankful for is the leadership. We've got one of the brightest minds in the game as a head coach. He's got a staff that works. I can't even explain to you how hard they work. There's not a day where Quinn doesn't have his team as prepared as they possibly could. The players know it. That's why they play so hard every single night, because their head coach is and we have good guys, you know, giving it every ounce of what he has. They're creative in what they do. They're pushing the envelope. If there's a way to get better, Quinn's going to try it. And then you have Dennis and his staff, which are endlessly working. Walt Perrin's out all the time. Dave Fredman's doing all his work. David Morway and Justin Zanuck have built this kind of upper tier of expertise around Dennis. And Dennis is, you know, sees the game beautifully, works diligently, has a great mind toward it. We have probably as respected a front office coaching combination as there is. So that kind of gives me what I would say I'm most thankful for. I hope you didn't mind that 7 minutes of goodness and happiness and reminder of maybe what's the fun part about this. But that's where I stand on this Thanksgiving. I get the – there's some – you know, it's really interesting to me. I get it, and we've been through it before. I'm done with this. This sucks. Like, okay. I would never be done with it. I would never – and frankly, we're – you know, go back a year ago, we weren't in a great spot on this day. I think we'd lost four in a row. I didn't do this today because of anything, actually. I just think that's the right thing to do today. We'll talk about where we were a year ago. I think it's an interesting parallel in a second, and the Bulls as well. Let me mention to you that today's show is brought to you by Stevens Henniger College. So it's, you know, this is the kind of time of year, I think, when everyone's kind of evaluating where they are, what's going on in their lives. If the job end of things isn't great, if you look back and maybe wish you'd spent a little bit more effort in the schooling. Maybe you weren't ready for it, though, at that point in time. You are now. Maybe Stephen Henniger can put you in a better situation. Their goal is to work extremely hard to, one, help you through school, and two, to help students get a better job sooner. They have the services set up for it. They've got the departments in which you can work specifically for career-oriented classes, computer science, programming, business, HR. They have courses that set up every month, so you don't have to just do it in the fall or the spring. They're fast-paced, four-week courses, about 10 hours a week of classes. So it's built for your success to go on with your regular life and then be adding this so you can take the next step. Oh, but maybe you don't have the time. Maybe you do. Let's find out. I don't have a computer. I can't afford that. Okay, they give you a laptop at 4 weeks. And then it's free to you upon graduation. I don't have the money. Let's find out. Financial Aid Planner is there for the very beginning, and there are no other costs. So maybe it's time to work for that career change. You're missing that degree. You know you can do more. You know you can have a better life. It's hard, though. I got it. See if Stevens Henniger can help you out with that. Keyword to 88588 or youineducation.com. Text keyword to 88588 or youineducation.com and see whether or not it'll work out. Class sizes are small, and they even have a three-week testing period. All right. What did I just say we're going to talk about? That is my brain in a nutshell. Oh, where we were a year ago. Woo! If I don't have it written down right in front of me, it's like gone. I wonder what it's like to listen to this thing and wonder, like, yeah, it's every minute of every day. It's like what I have to be around. All right, so if you go back to November 23rd of last year, we are 7-8. And I'm not about to say that we're going to go win 51 games again. I don't think we have the roster for that. But we were 7-8. We had just lost to Memphis 102-96, to the Bulls 85-77 in a miserable game at home. We went to Houston and got whooped 111-102. We went to Denver on the back end of a back-to-back and put out nothing. Like, that was that a four-game and five-nighter? Our two games in Denver last year were so bad. What was our other one? Was that later in the year? Hayward was back. Trey Lyles was starting. Rodney Hood, Dante Exum was at the point because George Hill was out with a sprained thumb. And we just were getting whooped. We went 7-27 from three. We shot 39% from the field. We were in full-fledged panic mode a year ago at this time. I went back and looked at my podcast and actually found it and went and listened to it. Like, we were freaking out. We had gone to Houston for back-to-back games and just gotten whooped. We lost to Houston 111-102. Lyles actually had a decent game with 21 that night. Hayward was not good yet. Hayward was all over the place. I think it actually might have been when he was debating whether he might have to have surgery again. Joe Ingles at this point is coming off the bench, played 15 minutes a night. Diaw's not playing. George Hill's out. Harden goes for 31-10 against us. Eric Gordon added 20. Capella, we were down 6 at the end of one. We were down 13 at the half. That game was never close. And then there was, and the Bull, we're playing the Bulls, that 85-77 Bulls game. I mean, Hayward really was struggling at this point. I don't look at our roster and think it's the same roster. But I do think this is a little bit of a statement that Quinn works, gets through it. Things change, injuries matter. You know, Hayward went 3-15 against Chicago. Jimmy Butler got into him, he could not get off. Dante was starting at the point guard and scuffling pretty badly at that point. Trey Lyles was still playing a bunch for us. He played 20 minutes. Boris started that night, didn't have it. Joe Ingles only played 7 minutes that night. And again, no George Hill. So it's, you know, there's an evolution. Our team's really, really different, right? Our primary three shot takers right now are Mitchell, Hood, and question mark. So it's a really different team. And we've talked about that the schedule has not been. But interestingly, we came out of that. We beat Denver by 20 at home. We then went beat Atlanta, had Thanksgiving, went to Minnesota, won, beat Houston at home, lost to Miami at home, and then beat Denver, the Lakers, and Portland, and Phoenix, and all of a sudden we were 14-9 and rolling. I'm not sure, as I said, that I see that same thing happening here, but I do think it's worth keeping an eye on just that's the level of Quinn. And then the other aspect that we've been talking about the last few days is the West is just a mess. I mean, we'll talk about Millsap and the NBA 5 here in a second. And some things that are going on with Minnesota. But there were three teams to start the year that we thought we were going to be better than everybody else. And then there was this mix of teams we all thought were going to be very good. And quite frankly, I think all of them are not very good right now, which is makes things pretty darn interesting. Tonight we got the Bulls, Lauri Markkanen coming in. They're not good. They're 3-12 on the season. They lost last night to the Lakers 103-94. Their offense disappeared in the second half of that game. They had a nice lead. They are the 29th ranked offense in the league. The 16th ranked defense. They play at a moderate pace. They can't shoot. They're 29th in the league in effective field goal percentage. We're 23rd, so you kind of can think. We think we can't shoot. They are 30th in the league at going to the line, so they can't shoot, and they don't go to the line very much. We've gotten much better at that. We're 13th. Defensively, they try. Markkanen's their leading scorer. Holiday follows that. Robin Lopez is really good at the center position. Then Bobby Portis, the man of the right hook on Mirotić, is their fourth leading scorer. So, and their point guard position, Chris Dunn's taking that back over. Really, seeing Markkanen's going to be awesome. He's been really, really good. They've got Zach LaVine, who's now practicing. I'm not sure that the Jimmy Butler trade, it's interesting, the two trades that got panned the most in the offseason, I'm not totally convinced they're going to be as bad. If Markkanen's really good, which early indicators are he might be, then trading Jimmy Butler for Lauri Markkanen straight up might not be a bad deal. If you're going to rebuild and he doesn't want to be there and you go get yourself a first-round draft pick and you got yourself a seven-footer who's shooting 36% from three, has a 53% effective field goal percentage, 81% from the line. He's got 15 points, grabbing 8 rebounds and 2 assists a game. What are we complaining about? Like, to me, that might be a real... All right. I mean, and he's definitely come on in the last 10 games. You're beginning to see teams scout him a little bit more, and you're seeing some fatigue. Okay, he's a rookie, and he's big. But even the last 2 games, he's grabbed 14 and 13 boards. So his last 10 games, he's shooting 43% from the field and 32% from 3. He's not, you know, after he started kind of, I think, surprising those early teams. And now there's no one else around. So on one level, you look at it and you get a little nervous of whether or not there might be some thing where the numbers are inflated because the team's so bad, he's the only one who can score. On the other end, he's pretty efficient. You know, Chris Dunn is maybe not, we're going to see, as every indicator right now on Chris Dunn is that he may not be an NBA point guard. And then they got Zach LaVine, who we'll see what he does coming off an ACL. But if you got it for Jimmy Butler, that might not be terrible. Actually, might be kind of impressive. I'm hoping over the holiday season you don't need to do this, but if in fact you do, and you get in a car accident and you need a personal injury attorney, then I would consider strongly the Advocates. Matt runs the Advocates. They're injury attorneys. Their end goal is really simple, to help you out. He said it took him a while as a personal injury attorney not to kind of be ashamed, go to parties, this is what I do and mumble. But really what he's done is kind of tried to form an art out of it and pride himself on helping people in tough situations. And the way they've done that at the Advocates is by building a craft out of the process. They have now a system, 106 step system. It's kind of impressive. That is there to make you get a better results, make sure nothing bad happens to you employment wise, and treat you well in the process. The efficiency of the process allows for better communication, a quicker process, and a more productive end result. I like one of the things that Matt's done is, okay, in every case, we've got to deal with the insurance company. In every case, we've got to deal with the hospital. In every case, we've got to deal with automotive. In every case, there's these items that in every single case, no matter what. So he has people who that's their job. They're experts at that. They know how to navigate that. They know where the hurdles might be. So they do that while the lawyer's interacting with you or the lawyer's doing the things that they do best. You get a call from a lawyer in 60 seconds. Remember this when you're dealing with these cases. Less than 1% go to trial. 3% go to arbitration. So you want an expert covering all aspects of things to make sure that the checklist is marked off, that they're in position to take care of it for you best. And that's what the Advocates do. Write down this number, 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. Hopefully not over the Thanksgiving season. But if you do, give the Advocates a call. All right, let's do NBA 5. It's usually our 5 minutes of fast paced hitting NBA news. So let's do it. All right, first story out there is that one I don't think is being talked about. A lot of talk about lottery reform, going back to letting the college kids come into the draft. There's some talk about having college kid or high school kids come into the draft, and then if you go to college, you have to go for 2 years. So a bunch of flaws that are here that are worth keeping an eye on. One, if in fact we're going to make kids go to college for 2 years, I don't like it. Frankly, I don't know why you can't have freedom of employment at all times. I don't like the one done either because I like freedom of employment. But the fact is that if you do that, every kid's going to come out. Almost nobody is going to go to college to go knowing that they have to go for 2 years. So you're going to flood the system. You're going to put then an undue pressure on the G League and talking to people around the league. Most people don't think that the G League right now is structured in a way financially in which it can has enough infrastructure to take care of these 18-year-old kids and get the development out of them that you probably want and need to have for them. So that's kind of worth keeping an eye on, that there's a backside to this lottery thing, and most people I talk to in the league don't think the league's prepared for it. From a strategy standpoint, the other aspect of things is that if, in fact, we're going to do this, there's a chance where you could have a year in which both the one-and-done players and the next year high school kids are out. If that's the case, it's the single greatest draft class of all time, and you've got to make sure that you tank and are available in that season. So keep an eye on that lottery story. It's a pretty big one. It might be important for roster building as well. Final one, talking around the league on lottery is they've done this whole new thing to try to take away tanking with the new lottery ball starting not this year but next year. The word I have around the league is it just means more teams are going to tank. It's actually more advantageous. You used to not tank because you looked at your roster and you realized we really can't be 1, 2, or 3. There's no way for us to be that bad. But now in the new lottery system, if you suddenly realize, wait a sec, well, we can probably be 5, then it's more advantageous for you to be able to suddenly, you know, go down and you might end up having 5 teams that tank than used to have 1 or 2. Right now we've got 2, right? We've got the Bulls and the Hawks, and then the Kings are just awful. But the idea that this is going to de-incentivize tanking, the more I talk around the league, the more I actually hear the opposite. That, in fact, some people think that it's going to go the other way in the process and actually be advantageous for teams to do that. So, you know, different points of view on that. Paul Millsap is out for 2 to 3 months. I don't think it's going to hurt them from a I don't think it's going to hurt them from a offensive standpoint. The question is whether Denver is going to revert back to being a terrible defensive team. They've got a lot of power forwards. Jokic will have more possessions. Millsap has been inefficient with his possession usage so far this year, and I think that's been a struggle for them as well. So that's, you know, worth keeping an eye on for you there. The next one, Manute Bol. The story on Manute Bol is the fact that they talked about that he might have actually been 50 while he was playing. If you remember Manute Bol, that's a great little story. Two other nuggets for you. The Timberwolves' fourth quarters continue to be a problem. They are far and away the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA right now. This is now, it used to be that it was Ricky Rubio's fault. This is now another season of the same thing. It's beginning to fall onto Tom Thibodeau a little bit. It's also an interesting case of Andrew Wiggins' value or lack thereof. We probably should discuss this. I've been teasing it sometimes. I find him to be one of the most interesting cases in the league, frankly, on what you think of him and how you evaluate him as a player. And I'm actually having a hard time grasping where some of the analytics people are going with him, that he actually might not be good. But there's an interesting thing. You look at fourth quarter numbers, and sometimes these are misleading if you're not playing close games. But right now, the number one offensive teams are the Warriors, Houston, Toronto, and Cleveland, which you'd expect, and Denver 5. Like, it really lines up. Minnesota is actually a pretty good offensive team, but their defense is just terrible. 106.8 in the fourth quarter, so they continue to struggle. Cleveland's defense is terrible at 109 as well. Then you get into clutch time, and the problems get even a little bit more severe for some of these teams, and it's worth watching. I mean, this is where teams get better as the year goes on, and so they shouldn't worry about it too much. But if you look at clutch right now, the best offensive teams are Cleveland, New York, interestingly, Phoenix, Sacramento, and Boston. The defensive teams, San Antonio, New York, Milwaukee, Memphis, Pelicans. Surprised to see the Pelicans there. Maybe when it closes down. Pelicans have the most clutch wins other than Boston of anyone in the league. Minnesota is 28th in the league defensively at a 136.2. The Thunder are at a 150. They're 1-8 in clutch. Both those teams, interesting to watch if that gets better. Minnesota offensively is 13th. Oklahoma City is 21st. Oklahoma City is so bad in the clutch right now. They're by far the worst team in the league. Oh, actually, the Clippers have now surpassed them. Minus 51 per 100 possessions. But Minnesota is 26th, and that's the same problem that they were having before. Houston's not good. They've gotten blown out in the clutch once or twice. Sample sizes are pretty small here. You got to be a little careful at how much you look at it, and I actually would like some other stats better. I kind of like within 3 with 3 minutes left. To me is a better filter. And the reason for that is, you know, it's within a possession in the final 3 minutes. Your sample size this time of year gets even smaller. When you run that, you end up
with a little bit of a different data along the way. You still have, you know, Milwaukee becomes this incredible defensive team. Their differential is 100, which probably cannot be maintained. Minnesota's 23rd, Oklahoma City's 30th, and Denver's not very good in those circumstances. Either's Toronto, but we're really dealing with awfully small sample sizes at this point in time for that. Final one, the Lakers' defense is currently ranked 4th in the NBA. And by the way, if the playoffs started today, the Lakers are in. I think if the playoffs started today, the Lakers are in. Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar Ball, in a fight with Trump, and write that the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. At 8-10, the Lakers are the 8th spot. The Jazz are only one spot out of the 8th spot, with the Lakers and Memphis tied, Oklahoma City tied, Phoenix and Utah. I mean, it's weird to have lost 8-10 and be that close, but that's where the West is right now, and that's where we stand. Hey, there's 13 games on the docket tonight. Why don't you join me? We're going to do a play draft today. These are so fun. Now that this is done, go download the app Draft. It's a fun snake draft. Look for Locked On Jazz. I'll have it out there for you. If you use the promo code LOJAZZ, you can get in for a $3 entry for free. I'll make the game $3, so then you're playing for free. It's daily fantasy, snake draft, super fun way to do it. I'd suggest getting the buddies together, actually. We've had great fun with friends doing it. So download the app. Get ready for it. It's right there for you. And it's fun. It's not the salary cap stuff. It's just draft your players. You end up with 5 players. You end up with a center, 2 forwards, and 2 guards. With the many games as there are tonight, you're drafting marquee players you already know. And it's a great way to watch the game. You total up your points, your rebounds, your blocks. It's very basic, simple, fun way to have the game going on. And for $3. So there's a little winning. First and second get wins. I'll set up a 6-player draft. It'll be out there at Locked On Draft. Search Draft in the Play Store or in your iTunes, download the app, and then use the promo code LOJAZZ and search for the game, and we can all play against each other, and then I'll talk trash on Friday. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy it very, very much. Thanks so much for being a part of it. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.